Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. For the last few weeks, we've been talking about pursuing his power. We've talked about different aspects of that, but today I want to talk about Pentecost. Pentecost, what it is. What does it mean to me? Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. For four verses, it reads this way. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Father, today, what you began, I pray you would continue. Lord, you are a God who moves in power and in might. You are a God who supersedes how man thinks about things. So God, today, may our hearts be open to your move, to your direction, to your call, to your purposes. And Lord, may we pursue every part of your power that you have for your church today. In Jesus' name, and everyone in agreement, say amen. 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 Pentecost. Pentecost is, it designates the word itself 50 days or the 50th day after Passover. Passover is a Jewish feast, and so is Pentecost. Pentecost was the celebrating of the giving of the law at Sinai when the Israelites left Egypt and they had had Passover. 50 days passed and they received the law of God and they set up and said, this is Pentecost. It's also known as the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Harvest. Now in the New Testament, on the day of Pentecost that we read about, it was 50 days after the Passover of Jesus sitting at the Last Supper with his disciples. Now we need to remember that Jesus had died on the cross. He rose again. He had appeared to many. For 40 days he had appeared with them. And then after 40 days he ascended into the clouds. He went away. And then there were 120 people that were praying and waiting for the promise that Jesus had told them to wait for. On that particular Pentecost, on the beginning of that Jewish holy day, the Holy Spirit was poured out on 120 followers of Christ who were gathered together in an upper room in Jerusalem. It was on this day that the church was born, and it was birthed in a blaze of glory, in a baptism of fire. Where is that baptism of fire today? Where is that blaze of glory that God started in his church? I mean, would God start something that powerful and not continue it? Would God start something like that and then say, I think I'll rely on mankind to carry it out from this point forward? No. God sent his Holy Spirit. And today we need that same blaze of power in the church today that began the church. The power of the Holy Spirit at work in his church. To me, unfortunately, it seems that the average Christian or the average church is bogged down somewhere between Calvary and Pentecost. Many have been to Calvary for pardon and love it, but they've not been to Pentecost for power. I'm sure you've heard the old saying, it sure is hard to find good help these days. You know what I'm talking about. But it's not true for the believer. For those who call themselves followers of Christ have the ultimate helper today. The ultimate counselor. The Holy Spirit who resides in us. As I think back through the gospel story and as it's told, it was in Bethlehem that we found Emmanuel, God with us. It was at Calvary we found our Savior, God for us. And it was at Pentecost we found our Helper, God in us. Dwight L. Moody, a great evangelist, is quoted as saying, You might as well try to see without eyes, hear without ears, or breathe without lungs as try to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. Hudson Taylor, a great missionary to China, said this: since the days of Pentecost, has the whole church ever put aside every other work and waited upon him for 10 days that the Spirit's power might be manifested? We give too much attention to method and machinery and resources and too little to the source of power. Unfortunately, many Christians today are much like the Ephesian church. It's spoken of in Acts 19, verse 1 and 2, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Many do not understand the role of the Holy Spirit because many have not even heard of the Holy Spirit. And many of those who have heard have not appropriated the power of the Holy Spirit into their lives. What we need today, church, is the wind and the fire of Pentecost to blow again and to blaze in our lives. Some have described our present day Christianity as a time of Pentecostal substitutes, lacking real power, a form of godliness denying its power, lacking a real fire from God. Some trying to produce their own fireworks. We live in a day where programs and promotions and the things we do, we're trying to duplicate the excitement that God gave through the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and we can't do that. I can't whip up my own flames or whip up our fire. The real flame is the Holy Spirit, who wants to dwell and abide and present his power into your personal life. What amazes me is that the church can actually, though, be afraid of this gift. It's been said by some, the average person is so afraid of getting out on a limb that we never even bother to climb up a tree. I want you to know, I'm aware, through the years, there have been abuses, there have been misuses of the spiritual gifts. There's been the same thing has happened with the power of God, but we cannot get afraid of the excesses and the extremes that we do nothing, church. We cannot allow those who have misrepresented the truth of God's word to push us away from what is real in God. It's time to climb the tree of God's truth and receive the promise of his gift. So today I want to talk to you about Pentecost. Not a day, not a doctrine, not the assemblies of God, not some special belief, but a special promise of the Father. Pentecost is not a denomination. It is an encounter that every blood-bought child of God should receive. We're privileged, church, to live in a day in this generation where God is pouring out his Spirit in a mighty way. The Holy Spirit needs to come like a rain and fall on the dry religious ground of our day. And it needs to fall and prepare the precious fruit of this earth, the souls of men and women, for a great harvest. For harvest time is what Pentecost is about. In the sermon that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, Peter is telling them in verse 38, Peter replies, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." That is the harvest. That's why he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you remember Peter? Peter was the one who was kind of skittish and afraid and even denied Jesus, knowing him. And today he stands up in power and boldness and says, "This is the one you need to believe in." How did that happen? What made such a change in his life? He went back to fishing even after he saw Jesus risen from the dead. He struggles in a conversation with Jesus when Jesus says, "Do you love me?" And he responds, "Lord, you know I love you." In the Greek, that word Jesus uses is, do you agape? Do you have an unconditional love? Are you willing to surrender it all for me? And Peter responds with a different word for love. He says, phileo, I love you like a friend. What made the change from loving him from just as a friend to move to a place where I will unconditionally give my life and surrender it to the purpose of harvesting souls? I don't know where you're at today, but this is what the gospel is about. And if you have not received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, would you put your faith in him today? He died on a cross for you. He rose again, and he is coming back. All you have to do is believe that and accept him as your Lord today. That's what you need to do. That's what this is about. But he goes on and he's in his preaching. It says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because this thing has to perpetuate. This thing needs to continue. He says the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is not some special blessing for a special few, for a special age. It is for all who have truly repented and believe in the gospel. It is for everyone who has found the remission of their sin through the blood of the Lamb. The promise is for you, is for your children, and for all whom the Lord our God will call. What a promise. The question is not whether you as a Christian have the right to the gift of the Holy Spirit, but whether you have claimed that right. I have a gift this morning. Anybody like a gift? Okay. I had two, three respond that I saw that were quick to respond. I want you to have a gift this morning. See, in receiving a gift so many times, you never know what you're going to get. You just receive the gift. You just take it. I know you want a gift. There was a hand way back in the back. You're there. Oh. You just respond. Over here, I have one. Now I want a gift. See, what happens is, the question is, do we respond? Do we just want it? There's no works. There's nothing else you have to do. But I tell you what, since you desired it, I want you to know there's a gift. So many times, though, we get lost and we just don't get it to say, is it really there for me? Unfortunately, many have allowed the devil and religious tradition to rob them of the power of God. Church, we will not do that. Listen, Peter, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, said the promise is for you. The gift is for you. The promise is to everyone who hears his voice and to your children. And to all who are far off, how far is that? That's through all the ages. That even includes the 21st century. The promise is for you. The promise is for me. The promise is for everyone. When someone receives salvation, though, let me walk through something with you. They are placed into the body of Christ. And everyone who's been saved receives the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes residence at salvation. That's what we believe. Yet there are many that received the salvation and the Holy Spirit, but have not been filled with the Holy Spirit or the baptism or baptized with the Holy Spirit. They ought to be, can be, but choose not to be. What was the promise that God made? It was that the pouring out of the Holy Spirit would be upon all flesh, both men and women. And on the day of Pentecost, the crowd that was there was amazed because of the miracle of tongues that was given. Why? Because they were speaking languages and hearing the praises of God in native tongues that they knew these people didn't know. In essence, the people outside, though, that were hearing this and amazed by it, said, what's going on here? I think they've had too much to drink. That's what the people were saying. In Acts 2, I want you to hear, though, in verse 14, what Peter tells them. That Peter stood up with the 11. He wasn't by himself. The other 11 were there. It's filled with the Holy Spirit. But Peter raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. God will fill anyone who is willing to be used by him. It's for all. Now, what is the baptism with fire versus the Holy Spirit in me at salvation? I want to take you back just after the resurrection. Jesus is risen from the dead, and he's with his disciples. He appears to them. And the Bible tells us this. It says that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. But yet something else, something greater was to transpire in their life on the day of Pentecost. In Acts, Jesus tells his disciples in Jerusalem, wait here until you receive power from on high. Listen to Acts 1, 4, and 5. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, earlier in a conversation with them in John 20, after he had risen from the dead, here's what John 20, 21 says. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. But it was after this moment that they're ordered not to leave Jerusalem. Why? Because they're going to be baptized with a fire of the Holy Spirit in a few days. There is a deeper infilling of the presence and the power of God. And this is what Jesus wanted them to receive so they could be witnesses. I didn't want you to just have the presence of the Holy Spirit. I want you to have the power, the overflowing baptism of the Holy Spirit. This encounter with the Holy Spirit is not some mystical experience that just automatically happens. We need to ask for it. In Luke 11, 13, in a teaching very early on, Jesus says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Church, I think all of us could use a fresh touch and infilling of the Holy Spirit. We just need to ask. D.L. Moody, once again, he's asked, why he urged Christians to be filled constantly with the Holy Spirit. This is what D.L. Moody said. Well, I need a continual infilling because I leak. Church, we all leak. We need to be filled and continually filled, being filled with the Spirit of God. We need to be filled to overflowing every day. I wonder, do you wake up and just get, Lord, about halfway today is enough? I want to be full. I want God to use me. So we see that Jesus, yes, he breathed on his disciples, said, receive the Holy Spirit, but he commanded them to wait till they had this power from on high. If it were not a definite and distinct encounter on the day of Pentecost, then the disciples would not have known if they had complied with Jesus' command. But Peter gets up and says, this is it. This is the fulfillment of the prophet. This is what Joel was talking about. The Holy Spirit all of a sudden awakened in Peter what Joel had been writing about. The Bible records in the book of Acts that Mary, the mother of Jesus, the disciples, and other women and brethren all received this gift. The infilling of power from on high. And then it happened again and again in Acts chapter 8. Tells us about a revival that was happening in Samaria. There was a deacon. His name is Philip. He was preaching, and all of a sudden many are getting healed in Jesus' name, and they put their faith in Jesus, and they were water baptized. Later, after they were water baptized, the scriptures tell us that the apostles came, Peter and John, and they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. In Acts 10, this is a great story. A whole Gentile house of Cornelius, they are listening to Peter preaching the gospel of Jesus to them. Listen to what happened in Acts 10:44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. In Acts 19, well into the church and what's happening, Paul found certain disciples I read about earlier. They were in Ephesus. They were believers, but they hadn't even heard about the Holy Spirit. Listen to Acts 19. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. In church, it happens today. The Holy Spirit is our helper. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. The Holy Spirit is our guide. The Holy Spirit leads us into truth. The Holy Spirit gives us power for living. We just need to ask. Pastor Matt, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and come. And this morning I want you to hear a testimony of Carol Ann Keel. Carol Ann, would you come? I can tell you my testimony, but I wanted you to hear of what God has done and is doing in the life of Carol. Carol is serving right now as a director over our infant to preschool, our little life kids, and what's happening in our children's. And I want to thank you for that. Thank you for loving people and just walking us through and stepping in. But this morning, let me ask a couple of questions. You guys have been attending here for how long?
3 years.
3 years. And I know, because I heard the testimony in first service, so I kind of know what to ask now. I didn't know what to ask. But you said what happened 3 years ago in your life. Can you just tell what happened?
I was saved 3 years ago in my room. My marriage was in shambles, and my family was falling apart, and we had been coming here off and on, and one of my daughters got some help here from one of our pastors. And she said, "Mom, will you please come to church on Wednesday night?" And I was like, "I don't know." And I was one of those moms that just curbside service your kid, and I left. And so she just kept asking, and she just kept asking. And so through prayer of everybody here and my daughter, I came on Wednesday night, and I started, you know, just listening to God's word and opening his word really for the first time in my life. And so it was after that I got sick for 7 days, and I never get sick. And right there in my room is where he showed himself to me. He revealed himself to me right where I was, and I just cried out to him, and he answered me immediately. Well, for me, it was immediately, and I asked for forgiveness. I was, you know, sick, sinful, shameful. I was angry. I was a multitude of things. And it was just like he just lifted it right off of me.
Prior to that 3 year ago experience, what was your life like? What was happening? What was your upbringing?
Well, I was Catholic, born and raised Catholic. I went to a Catholic school for many years, and then I went to church with some friends, and, you know, they were Baptists, and I think, you know, out of fear, I accepted Christ when I was a teenager just because I didn't want to go to hell, but I never lived in the will of God until 3 years ago. And if you're not living the will of God, you're lost. You're not in his word and not living the life that he wants you to live. So
So 3 years ago, you kind of found this place of surrender. And I know it's very humbling to say the things you have said about your family, but God is restoring. And it is humbling, but it's also freeing at the same time. Because there is no shame in where we were. It's the glory that comes afterwards that we begin to walk in. At that time, of course, you were under the ministry here and just and hearing things and upbringing, didn't know anything about this God life. And though you heard, I think it's interesting, I talk about this in first service, but you had a knowledge, but not the experience.
Right.
And God said, there's something more than just knowing about me, but experiencing me.
Right. Amen. So as I was starting my walk with Christ, I started to attend Tuesday morning Bible study with Tammy's class. And it was there that the Holy Spirit really just started to speak to me. And even then, I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. So, you know, I had some great ladies just start pressing into me and pouring the love of Jesus into me and praying with me. And so then when, like, the light clicked on for me about the Holy Spirit, I wanted those gifts. They're His promise to us. Just like you said, they're for all. And I wanted that. So I had to seek Him in His Word and in prayer. And you had given a service on Matthew 5:6, those who hunger and thirst for His righteousness. And that's what I was wanting. I was wanting more of Him, and I couldn't get enough of Him. And so I would, you know, I would say to Tammy, you know, how do I get it? I would say to you, you know, I need prayer. I need it. I need it. I want it. And so, you know, Tammy just was like, you just continue to pray to Him and just tell Him to keep, you know, to fill you. And you just kept saying, press into Him. And I was doing all of those things, but I was just patient. I had to be patient and wait upon the Lord for Him to give me the gift that He promised me.
Yeah, something, let me just pause, because church, you need to understand, I don't have the gift in the sense of to give it. Right. It's God's gift. And you need to press into Him. And I think sometimes in our expression and even in my upbringing in the Assemblies of God, it was like if you just came forward, you know, you were going to get it from somebody and praying. I believe laying on hands is the way that God does it. There's but also He can just do it. For me, it was a home. And for you, the baptism, because see, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit was there and He was speaking to you. And there was a hunger, though, happening. And you began to desire this infilling, this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Before I go there, though, there was another part of this story that we just found out about. Is back in February, you were having some difficulties. Tell us what that's about.
In February, I was having really bad headaches, and I would, you know, get an occasional headache, but these were constant, and they never went away. And so after 4 days, I finally, as stubborn as I am and as busy as I am, figured I better go into the hospital. So I went into the emergency room, and they had diagnosed me with a blood clot in my head. And I was in the hospital for 5 days, and they put me on medicine. And after a few months, the medicine was making my joints hurt. And I just, that's when the Holy Spirit said to me that I've healed you. And I believe that, and I received it. And I was like, I told my doctor, I'm not going to take my medicine anymore. And I know that my Jesus has healed me. Well, she didn't want me to do that, but I just said, you know what? I will take responsibility. He's got me covered. And so we'll just wait for my MRI results. And so it was like May, June, July. It was like 3 months later, 4 months later that I had my MRI again. And I just got the news last week that I have no blood clot. So praise the Lord. All glory to Him, because... And all your prayers, thank you.
Amen. In this process, though, also, because I want to move back, and I thank God for healing. This is just how He works. This is how He moves. And but then in that desire to be filled, because it'd been great if you'd been filled right here, but it didn't happen here. Right. Tell us what happened in that process of being filled with the Holy Spirit, because you went on a ladies' retreat, is what I understand.
Right. He had bigger plans for me. I just get so amazed every time I look back and I think of how He did it for me. And it was like, I was telling you earlier, it was like biblical times. It was like we couldn't believe that it was the way it was.
I want to make a statement. I made it in second service after she made that comment. But church, we're still living in biblical days. I think sometimes we made that statement. It's like in the Bible times. We're still in the Bible times.
That's right.
God's still God.
That's right.
So what happened?
So when we got up there, we were sitting outside, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said that he was going to water baptize me there, and I would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he said, one of the ladies that was with me, Brenda, that she would baptize me. And, of course, I was so excited, and I wanted to jump up and tell her, and he quickly said to me, be still and wait. And I'm like, okay. So I just started to pray and ask him to reveal himself to me and where he was going to do it. So everywhere I was looking, I'm like, is it here, Lord? Is it here? And I, you know, I was no response. And then we were in our last afternoon class, and poor Brenda, she was sick the entire weekend without a voice, and she just went because she knew she needed to be obedient to God. There's this huge waterfall, and it's beautiful. And on our way up to the chapel, he said to me, this is where you will be baptized, at the waterfall.
What month are we in?
This was in May.
Okay. Michigan May.
Yes, and it had snowed the week before. So it was, but it was beautiful the weekend that we were there. But, you know, so I was just like, in that waterfall, I said, beautiful. And all I could think of was, you know, he will pour into us. And I'm thinking, he is pouring into me. Me, I don't deserve it, but I want it. And so we went up there, and I wanted to tell Brenda, and he was like, not yet. So we went and listened to the lady who was speaking, and she was talking about God pouring into you. And then she said, wait. I have one more passage for you, and it was Matthew 3, where John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. And I thought, oh my goodness. You know, it was just the whole string of events that led up to me being filled. So after we got back, Brenda said, I'm going to go take a nap, and I'm thinking, no, you're not. God's got bigger plans for you. So I told her, and we went, and the owner of the property, we had to call her because, one, we didn't know how to get up there, and, two, it was dangerous and cold. So she said, if the Lord is saying it and the Holy Spirit's saying it, we're going. I'm not missing out on this. So it was just beautiful. It was just a whole string of events of the ladies that were there with me. And
so then you were baptized?
I was baptized, and I came up and baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. Praise God. And I want all of his gifts. That's not the only gift he has for us. So I'm seeking now for other gifts. I want them all.
Amen.
And they are for us, all of us, not just you, me.
That's right.
But we need to seek his word. We need to seek and press into him. That is the only way he is going to draw near to you. You draw near to him, he's going to draw near to you.
Amen. I wanted you to hear the simple simplicity of God, just how he speaks to us. If we can learn to just be obedient, that's so hard.
Yes.
Because it's like, I don't know, we wonder, is that really God speaking? Listen, if you'll test it out and you're really hungry for God, God's probably speaking to you. It's really not that difficult. But it's been walking in that obedience and just trusting him and saying, I've got it.
Okay.
And just saying, God, do what you want to do. And I've watched your life. This was Rage Woman. Rage Road, did I say it right? Road Rage. But I have watched, and it doesn't make us perfect.
No.
But he grows us from degree to degree, glory to glory. Yes. It just works in our lives. And I wanted you to hear, though, you know what? God still does it today. It wasn't relegated for that special moment. It's for today. It's for you. It's for you. Would you just, let's celebrate what God's done in her life. Amen. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Close with a story. It was a story about a guide. He was in the Arabian Desert, and he was a guide, and they said he never lost his way. Well, he carried with him a homing pigeon, and he had a little cord attached to its leg, and When it doubt which way to go, he would release the bird into the air, and the bird would begin to fly in the direction of home, and that would guide him and thus lead him accurately always back home. This practice, and he became known as the Dove Man. Did you know the Holy Spirit is our heavenly dove? He guides us. He leads us. But have we really attached to him? And said, you lead me. You direct me. Church, wide is the way to destruction, but narrow. And church, I want to walk the narrow way. Not narrow-minded, just narrow in how I live, because I want to bring glory to God. I want to be a witness, a good witness of who he is and what he's done. And I need to submit to his guidance and his spiritual supervision in my life. And church, if we would do so, we would never be the same. I want you to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want us to yield to the work of the Holy Spirit and ask God to fill our lives to overflowing. Would you allow the Holy Spirit to begin to conform your life into the image of his Son? Ask him to baptize you with power so you can be a witness of the story and the grace and the mercy of God. If we would only allow the Spirit to take us from that degree to degree, from glory to glory. And this morning, all you have to do is come and seek God and ask him to fill you with his Holy Spirit. That's all you need to do. This morning, I invite you. Listen, I'm here, and others, I'm sure, who are filled with the Holy Spirit will come. And listen, if you want to lay hands on you, I'll be happy to lay hands on you. Sometimes it may happen somewhere else. Maybe you get in the corner. But I'm telling you, it won't happen without you seeking God. It just doesn't occur because I'm here. It occurs because I'm hungry. Because I want you to have all of God. I don't want you to just have a portion of religion and say that's enough. It's not enough, church. In this day that's coming, when we're going to be, I believe we're going to be persecuted. I believe we're going to have a tough time. You're going to need the help of the Holy Spirit that says, this is what you say. This is how you act. This is what you do. This is how you live. And we just begin to walk in that way as he leads every step. But church, if you don't want it, let me tell you something. You don't have to worry about it. Everybody's like, well, I don't know if I want that. You don't have to worry about it then. But if you're hungry for God, it's time to press in. I don't know if he'll do it today. I don't know if he'll do it tomorrow. I don't know if he'll be at a retreat somewhere. But church, if you start getting hungry, I know he'll fill you. I know he wants to use you because he's empowered his church for the purpose of bringing glory to himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. And the church needs that power today. So, Pastor Matt is just going to lead us in worship. I don't want you to get lost in words and music. Worship team, as I told you before, I just need you to worship. This is not about worshiping a song or worshiping something. I don't even want you to go after a gift. I want you to go after God. God has the gifts. He gives them liberally, just like I gave them out earlier. I want it. I want it. I want it. I would like to have it now. That's all it is responding. And I want you to begin to worship. There is something about pressing in and saying, you are the one. You are my help. You are my fortress. You are the power that I need. And I desire. Why? Because Peter said, as Joel wrote it, it is for you and it's for your children and to all that the Lord God has called. It's for you today, church. You need to press in and believe. Amen? Pastor Matt, just begin. Heavenly Father, we worship you and give you glory, praise, and honor. And Lord, as people begin to respond even now, God, they begin to push in and seek in. Lord, that we want you. We want everything, as Carol Ann said. I want it all, God. But God, I will take it step at a time. Lord, today, I pray for an initial infilling of the Holy Spirit. Lord, as Paul said, I wish all of them spoke in tongues. God, I pray you will fill your church afresh and anew today. Lord, those who have been long in that seeking, God, come and do it today. In Jesus' name, for your glory. Amen.